Our gospel lesson today is from Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Once while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Get away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. Be with us in this time and place, we pray. Amen. Follow me. That's our call. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? Jesus comes to the Sea of Galilee that day to teach. He gets out in the boat, presumably to be in front of the crowd and probably to allow his voice to carry better over the water. But notice what he does. He sits in the boat. That's what rabbis did at the time. They stood to read scripture, but sat down to teach as a sign of authority. So Jesus sits in the boat and preaches, and we have no idea what he spoke about that day because that's not the point of this story. Instead, after preaching, he tells Simon Peter to put out the fishing nets into the deep water. Think about that. Jesus is in their territory. He's come to their office, so to speak, in their boats, and now he presumes to tell these professional fishermen how to fish after they've been fishing all night long without a catch. This is typical Jesus. He doesn't stay in the synagogue, which is a lesson for us as Christians today. We cannot stay within the walls of the church. He went out to meet people where they lived and worked. He engaged people in their ordinary lives, just like on this day at the sea. And Jesus finds people in their time of need. Simon Peter is not sick, but he's sure tired and frustrated, having been out all night without catching any fish. So here's Jesus coming to help. Even if Simon was likely perturbed at his suggestion that they just put the nets out again and suddenly that would change their luck. Jesus said, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they did that, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. Incredibly, by listening to the advice of an itinerant preacher, they make this miraculous catch of fish that threatens to sink them. But this miracle, it's not the end of this story. It's just the beginning. In fact, it's not even the real miracle. It's just the context for what is about to happen. The real miracle is the call of Simon Peter and the others to follow Jesus. After this great catch, Simon is humbled before Jesus. He's heard of him. He knew he was a great teacher, but now he knows he's far more than just a teacher. This is the Lord. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish. Simon, much like Isaiah or Moses or Jeremiah before him, feels unworthy to be in the presence of God. So what Jesus says next is key to this call. Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Do not be afraid. Those are some of the most important words in all of the Bible. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. That's when they left everything. Even that huge catch of fish, these men left it all and followed Jesus right then and there. In Matthew and Mark, in this story, Jesus says, "I will make you fish for people," with the Greek word for fishing. But here Jesus uses a different Greek word, zogreo, which means to catch or rescue. Just as these fishermen have literally been rescued by Jesus for a completely new life as disciples, Jesus says that they too will go out and do this for others. They will be in the business of rescuing people, and there's no boundary on which people or where. It's just a call to rescue people. And we know from all of Jesus' ministry that this will mean especially those who are marginalized, left behind, excluded. It means Jew and Gentile, poor, sick, sinner, prostitute, leper, unclean. Jesus means everyone. So there's a lot in this story. But what does it have to do with us today? Some people say this is just a story about evangelism, reaching out to people who don't know Jesus and trying to catch them and bring them into the church. But what if there is so much more? In this story, we learn how important it is to listen to Jesus. All too often, we are listening to other people and pundits and social media for direction in life. This story reminds us that we need to listen to Jesus first and foremost, even when we think he can't possibly understand our work or our situation or our lives. He wasn't a fisherman, but he sure knew about the power of God, and it was displayed in that miraculous catch. So how do you listen to Jesus? How do you turn away from the noisy voices in this world and hear what God is saying to you? We also learn about trust. It wasn't easy for Simon to trust Jesus. What did this carpenter teacher know about catching fish? But something inside Simon knew he should trust. And after seeing all those fish, he knew this was the person to trust with his life. It's why he was able to leave everything behind and follow. So what about us? How do you trust Jesus? How do you let go of skepticism and doubts or fear and just trust? In this story, we also learn about obedience. Simon may have doubted Jesus' words on catching fish, but he did put those nets into the deep water. Simon obeyed Jesus. He may have had his worries about abandoning his way of life, but he did leave everything to follow Jesus. What about us? Are we able to listen and trust and then obey what Jesus asks us to do? Are you willing to do what is being asked of you? Are we paying attention to what Jesus is asking? And then there's a lesson about expectations. Notice what Simon says to Jesus after telling him how they've been fishing all night without a catch. Simon says, "Yet if you say so, I'll put these nets into the deep water." If you say so. And that's when they caught so many fish, they almost sank. Simon's expectations were way too low. What about ours? Are we expecting God to show up in our everyday lives? Do we expect God to help us and do great things? Do we expect God to lead this church and guide us into an amazing future? If not, why not? Jesus is the God of abundance and amazing gifts, the God of new life and new opportunities. We should expect God to do great things today, right before our very eyes. The poet Annie Dillard used to say that when we come to worship, we're like children playing with chemistry sets. We should really be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers. We need belts in our pews, all because God is going to show up. And there's even more to the story. We learn about deep water, or leaving our comfort zone. Jesus did not tell Simon to just try a little harder. He told him to put the nets out into the deep water. In other words, leave the shore and the shallow water where you can see if there are fish and go into the deep. Deep water is where you can't see the bottom. You can't see if there are any fish. You can't see much of anything. So what is that deep water for us today? Where are we being asked by God to step outside our comfort zone, to leave what's familiar and move in a new direction? Where are you being asked to go and all you have is trust? I wonder if one place we're all being asked to step into the deep water is the place of welcome and unity and understanding, especially given our divided world today. Today is the first Sunday of Black History Month, and we will be celebrating all month by profiling just a few of our prominent Black church members and community members in modern times. But of course, there are countless Black role models and stories for us to learn. We all know of famous leaders like Martin Luther King Jr. in the Civil Rights Movement or Archbishop Desmond Tutu in the fight against apartheid. But I'm constantly amazed by other Black leaders that history has not profiled until recently. Did any of you see the movie Hidden Figures? It's the story of the Black female mathematicians who played a vital role at NASA during the early years of our space program. These were Black women working alongside almost all white men and working in crazy conditions, like not having a bathroom they were allowed to use in the same building. Just another story for us to be inspired by. I was reading an article this week entitled, "Is Black History Month Still Relevant?" Black History Month began in 1926 with Negro History Week, and in 1976, President Gerald Ford made Black History Month a national observance in America. Some people have argued after the election of Barack Obama as president, we no longer need something like Black History Month, but the truth is we need it more than ever before. The church needs it more than ever before. Race relations are worse, not better. Hatred and prejudice and white supremacy, it's on the rise, not falling, even within the Christian community. It's being stoked by politicians who use white fear and prejudice as a rallying cry. The death of George Floyd ignited a call for racial justice, but it also deepened a division and a call to hatred. And it's grown into something far beyond prejudice just in people's hearts. Books about race or by Black authors are even being banned. In one state, readings by Martin Luther King Jr. have been taken off required reading lists for public school students. In one place, textbooks have even tried to change the history of slavery by not saying that we brought and bought and enslaved Blacks for hundreds of years, but rather that some Blacks immigrated on their own from Africa to work on plantations and make a better life in America. Can you even imagine such a false statement? It's kind of like denying the Holocaust, which sadly is also happening today. So we need Black History Month because Black history is all of our history. In our church, in our community, we need to celebrate diversity and welcome and acceptance and love of our neighbors, especially in a time of hate and division. Because we are all children of God. And if we are to rescue people like Jesus calls us to do, if we are to reach out with the love and good news of Jesus Christ, that means we have to get beyond our own prejudice, which sadly we all have to some degree or another. It means seeing all people as beloved children of God, made in the image of God. And here's the thing. We can learn so much from our brothers and sisters of a different color, a different background, a different viewpoint. In the fall of this year, we will hopefully enjoy a belated celebration with a Black community member speaking to us while we enjoy Ms. Hank's incredible food. So what does it mean to follow the call of Jesus? It means we listen, we trust, we obey, we expect great things, and we go out into that deep water, well past our comfort zone, while we work to rescue people just as we have been rescued by God. This is what it means to follow Jesus today. This is the good news of the gospel. And for this good news, all God's people can say together, Amen.